In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xennial. But what is a Xennial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xennial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
I almost just choked on my Altoid here. Dear God. Anyway, sorry, I wanted some minty fresh breath. Even though you're not here for me to talk to, I still wanted minty fresh breath. You know what I'm saying?
I understand entirely. I could smell it from here.
Why? Are you hiding in my house somewhere?
Maybe.
I told you to stop doing that shit, man.
Sorry, man. That's the only way I could get a decent connection. Even that's shoddy.
Yeah, well, that's the internet for you. Anyway, thank you all for listening this week. We'll talk to you again next week. Wait, that's too soon. I'm saying that too soon.
So good night, this everybody.
Yes, good night. This has been a fun week. I mean, last week we talked about last week was Easter, yeah. And we had a very interesting conversation about shoes. And apparently, as you sent me the information about this. Yeah. Is it Mischief? Mischief was the company, right?
Yeah, Mischief was the company got sued.
And Mischief and Nike apparently were able to somehow settle this dispute.
Yeah. It's getting crazy.
And Nike put out something to say that they had nothing to do with those shoes, the Satan shoes, or with the Jesus shoes, that, you know, whatever. But apparently the dispute has been settled. Am I right? Is that what the last I heard about it was?
Yeah, essentially the idea is that this is a little recap, I guess, on last week. Okay, so yes, Nike and Mischief have settled. They've essentially settled out of court. You're right that Nike put out a statement, but the other part is that Mischief has actually agreed to buy back the Satan shoes and, on top of it, the Jesus shoes. The Jesus shoes were part of this agreement. So they are buying back any of those shoes that they decide can be bought back. That obviously is the rights of the people that purchase the shoes. But I am very curious about how this turns out, what it's going to do for the other shoes that don't get sold. They are going to skyrocket just because they're going to be that much more rare, because they have to take them back and destroy them.
Oh yeah, that's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Interesting side note, in one of my I'm still doing some of my college classes. One of them is a business class, and this one's more about business ethics at this point in time.
Yeah.
And the chapter in the assignment this week was very apropos, because it was asking was a discussion in there, not the assignment, a discussion that we had to have amongst our peers. We basically post something to a discussion board and people can say what they want on it.
Whatever. Did you just post the podcast?
No. Well, the question was, if you were working at, no, it poses the scenario. You are working at X factory. I'll say what X is later. X factory in inventory.
Okay.
You have a very strong suspicion that your manager at the factory is stealing product and selling it on the side to make extra money.
Whoa.
And cooking the books for inventory numbers.
Right.
Because this chapter was about whistleblowers.
Right.
What would you do in this scenario? So, first I said, you know, whistleblower is very important. These are things that people need to know. You know, people need to know about what's going on when there's nefarious business practices happening. This information needs to come to light so the businesses can finally be held accountable for any of those practices. If I was in this situation as an inventory or in a normal situation in that job, I would be gathering as much evidence as I can, because my suspicion is not enough for me to straight up accuse. I would gather the evidence that I can, present my evidence to the person that's higher up in the chain of things, from my manager, mm-hmm. and pursue the situation then.
Yeah, right? It should be through an anonymous line of sorts. There should be human resources type of situation where you can report theft anonymously. I know some of the larger corporate entities that I have worked for, they do have those.
In my situation, for me, if I was in inventory, I would be reporting it directly. I wouldn't worry about being anonymous because it's my job to make sure inventory is okay. I don't care if somebody hates me.
Well, no, that's entirely different. The reason why that's the case is because some people on the, let's say that you're like a grunt though. Let's say you're on the bottom, right?
Yeah.
I understand that. But at the same time, there are a lot of employees that do not feel secure enough in them, because there are a lot of employees that would feel that their job essentially is at risk and they may become a target. So the anonymous lines are to help combat that.
And I understand the purpose of the anonymous lines, but it was asking me what I wanted, what I would do in the situation.
Yeah.
And I'm not the guy who's going to be anonymous in the situation. I'm going to be the guy that's like, look, I have evidence this dude might be stealing. Now, if he's not stealing, okay, fine. But I got evidence this dude might be stealing. I'm more than glad to say I got evidence for this. You're going to try to fire me for it? Let's see what happens then. See you in court, buddy.
Well, but yeah, that's completely understandable. Time, there are a lot of people that don't understand their rights in that respect. That's why
there's also a lot of people that are that there is the factor of fear, and there's a lot of things in this world that I'm afraid of. Like I can't even watch Finding Nemo without fearing that I'm going to drown. Even though it's Finding Nemo, it's Finding freaking Nemo. It's fish in the ocean, but because I'm sitting there focusing on watching an underwater scene happening, I'm freaking out about drowning. Like any kind of undersea documentary stuff scares the crap out of me to watch.
Oh man.
Can't do it. I had a friend recommend some video games for me the other day, and they started getting into the horror stuff, and I'm like, I'm not really a horror fan. And then there was this one that was like an underwater horror game, an underwater anxiety game, and I'm like, nope.
Nope.
No, you're not interested. That would help. No. There's no way I'm going to play that game.
No.
It's like, yeah, I remember you're afraid of the water, aren't you? Yeah. Not
yeah, why
happen.
The fuck would you recommend that to me?
Not gonna happen.
Yeah, totally. I get
he's
that.
He's a sadist. That's why he would recommend it to me. He just wants to see me in pain. But anyway.
No, I understand where you're coming from, too. If you have that, you better have that. There is a loss prevention line most of the time, though. Like, you would contact somebody and be like, hey, this is some stuff, and I've seen this happen, and by the way, I'm running inventory, and this is missing, and we don't know why. Like, this doesn't make sense. Totally. Now, if you have access to those records and you're capable of doing that, go to it. Do it, man. Because then they'll work as incognito as possible, make sure that they have a case before they turn around and fire somebody or worse, prosecute them. But they need to make sure that they've got legitimate evidence to do so, and that's why they've got that there. There's nothing wrong in being open about whether or not you've got... I can't say... That's the reason why the anonymous lines are there is because some people have that fear. But at the same time, it also depends upon the hierarchy of the job too. Like I said,
that was just my response to it, especially at this stage in life. There was a stage in life when I was younger, when I would have worried more about those kinds of things. Yeah. I'm at a stage in life now where, if I see something's wrong, I'm going to point it out. I'm going to make sure that it's found out. And I don't care if my name is known for doing it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I get it.
That's just the contrary nature that I have with myself right now.
I would say that you have a comfort.
Let's go.
I would say that you have a comfort in your security. Like you're secure in your decisions. That's a major deal.
And I do seek out a little bit of conflict at this point in my life. But anyway.
oh, you're a drama queen then.
A little bit, yeah. Thank you. I was gonna say you're not aware of this. Which friend have you been talking to for all these years? But anyway, I guess I gave the answer, and again, I made sure to. The biggest thing for me was make sure you gather enough evidence. You need to make sure that you have the evidence. Don't have a suspicion of something happening without finding evidence, and find the evidence. But anyway, so I gave that answer, and then I said, however. Due to what company this is, because they named a very specific company. Due to what company this is, at this moment in time, I would not report this to the superiors.
Oh.
This is the conflict seeking and the contrary nature that I have. This is it coming full bloom. Okay, full bloom. I would not report it to superiors. No, no, no.
Is it because you see that crime as a specific level of crime and the crimes that said company commits are worse?
Yes and no. Okay. You're on the right track.
All right.
I would approach the manager that's doing this, that I think is doing this, and actually offer to help them fleece the company even further And yes, I put this in my answer.
Almighty.
I would fleece them even further because of the specific lawsuits that this company is involved in right now and their repeated human rights violations throughout the world.
I think anybody at this point who's listening to this can pretty much piece together who he's talking about, because I sure as hell can.
Who am I talking about?
You're talking about fucking Amazon, dude.
No, actually, I'm not.
Fuck off!
It wasn't
Amazon. Who are you talking about? Disney?
You're not even going to believe this. You're really not.
You're talking like warehouses and shit, right? Like inventory and all that?
Yes, there's inventory. Yes, there's warehouses. But this is the thing. This came up as my discussion topic. And I was just like, oh my God, this is the perfect discussion topic for this week.
What the fuck company are you talking? Okay, I got to know who you're talking about now. Like can we go on the record about this? Because I just went on
I can go on the record about this. It's not a problem. It's part of the, it was the assignment.
Okay.
Because they picked a company that has brand recognition that everybody knows. But this last week, this would be the time I'm really wanting to be contrary on this company.
Really? Who is it? Because I heard about some shit Amazon was pulling off.
Dude, okay. First of all, you need to let me say it.
Sorry. Keep going.
You're not hearing the things that I'm saying. I'm saying this last week, it was very apropos.
I still don't know who you're fucking talking about, and I really want to find out.
Okay, here it is. The company was Nike.
Oh, my God.
Seriously, it was freaking Nike.
That's hilarious.
As I bring the assignment up, I'm like, oh my God, we just did a podcast about this. All right. Okay. I know what I'm going to do.
So, okay.
Let's take this company down.
Did you? Okay. So in order to give context to what I was talking about, I need to describe something that happened over the last couple of days that I heard about, specifically about Amazon. And we know as far as Nike. Yeah. Like we're not like, look, man, I'm not looking to hate on anybody. I really am not.
No, I just,
but
for,
it's really funny to see that.
I just want to state right now that you may be having this discussion about Amazon. I have not mentioned Amazon to you before you're having this discussion, right? I just want that clear.
I don't think we've had discussions about Amazon before, have we?
No, I'm speaking specifically today. People know we've mentioned it before that before we start the podcast, we talk for a few minutes, figure out what we're going to talk about, share some stories about the week, whatever.
Yeah, we talk
a little. We sometimes talk in between the break, and then we sometimes talk at the end of stuff. Pat ourselves on the back. That sounded good today. Or be like, dude, you missed my entry, or you missed my part. You took it away from me, you bastard. That kind of stuff. At some point it's like, okay, we really said the word iconology or iconography way too much. We said iconography way too damn much. Something like that. Those kinds of things will come up in conversation.
And that's how we
write
titles.
I want it really, really clear that I did not in any of our conversations today mention Amazon to you, right?
Absolutely not. I will go on the record saying that completely. Mentioning Amazon, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that are going to assume it was Amazon, even without listening to, especially if you didn't listen to last week's podcast and did not take the synopsis of what we were talking about previously at this episode. Anyone, if you were to take that segment by itself, you would assume it's Amazon if that's what you're talking about.
I just need it for personal reasons that I can explain later. I just need it clear that I did not mention Amazon to you.
No,
this is something that you are spurring on for the mention.
I implanted that idea within myself based upon the context that you gave me, thinking that it was separate from the Nike conversation.
Why is Amazon in this conversation? I have not heard this thing. Go on. Tell me.
Okay. Did you hear about the union vote? I believe it was out in Alabama.
Okay, I heard there was going to be some kind of union vote in Alabama. But,
it happened.
It
happened. It was 1,000 to 400, no union. Here's the issue, though. The first
thing
that
the vote
first, it was mailed via USPS. Okay, most of the vote was mailed by USPS. Here's the issue, though. The biggest problem was that Amazon was obviously, as a company, they're going to try to influence their workers not to unionize because it's bad for Amazon to do what they want to do, right? The way that they want to do it. Well, the problem here comes down to the simple fact that instead of Amazon, I guess it was like ruled in court that Amazon specifically could not state one thing or another. They couldn't directly influence by some way or another. I don't have the full story, but what the part of the story that I do have is that the unions, the union that approached the workers, their lawyers are going after Amazon because Amazon arranged with the U.S. Postal Service to directly put a mailbox out directly in front of the warehouse building that was in question for unionizing. The one that was discussing unionizing had a USPS mailbox specifically posted on the grounds, and Amazon was telling the employees, vote no and put your mail here. So essentially the idea is that the union is going after Amazon for using intimidation tactics against their employees to not vote or to vote no against the union. And so it was essentially like the idea of a mailbox being right there means you better be voting yes or you're not voting at all. So the vote was a pretty overwhelming example, but from everything that the union was collecting information from and who was having the conversation, apparently it's potentially the vote is far different from the from what the conversation was, from what they could collect. I don't know if this could be a union that's blowing things out of proportion or whether or not Amazon really is doing stuff like that, but there are a lot of people that are pissed at them for this at the moment.
Okay.
So that's the general. That's, I know it was a little wordy. Yeah. But the funny part is that it's been going on for years, specifically from a lot of new employees with new warehouses in different states that are coming up. You've got issues with labor, you've got issues with hours, you've got issues with breaks, with when the COVID outbreak happened, there was a ton of lack of quality control when it came down to professional safety, PPE equipment, like all this kind of stuff that was happening at the time. And every time some emergency kicks in having to do with Amazon, it's always something that looks super abusive from anybody that's looking at them as a company and how they're treating their employees. At least that's what I seem to gather. I don't know. I could be living in my own bubble. I'll give myself my own personal disclaimer there. Maybe that's what's going on. But that's what I hear a lot from people that do work there or people that used to work there. And friends of mine that have said that to me, or just like news reports, man, you see that shit all over the place. It seems they're always under fire for workplace bullshit, for employee treatment and all that kind of stuff, which I find it really funny that wasn't Amazon when you said the thing that you said, because it sounded a hell of a lot like them to me. And the knowing the union vote thing was something that just happened. I thought it was hilarious that it wasn't them and that it was an entirely different company. Also very believable to be that company, Nike. That's just funny to me.
Well, sadly, Amazon, because of the nature of what they do, can't really relocate the majority of their business outside of the United States and not have to worry about unionizing laws or, I don't know, having to employ adults instead of, you know, 9-year-old children. So, yeah, that's the human rights violations that I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's a whole, like, which one is worse kind of a situation. Like, I totally entirely understand where you're coming from. That's bad. So yeah, if you're like, well,
but it was, I will say this much. It was a fun assignment. And I will admit that so far this instructor that I've been dealing with over the last 3 months that has had to be dealing with me for these college classes has had a little bit of fun. Hopefully either she's had fun or she thinks that I'm insane. I'm not sure which one of the things it is, but again, it's part of my more new contrary nature. I mean, I spent enough time working in customer service situations to understand customer service. I also spent that time working customer service, working for the two biggest companies of their type of company. I mean, Blockbuster was the largest video rental chain in the world. And at one point in time, Home Depot was the largest home improvement store in the world. And I worked at both of them during the height of their time as the largest in the world. I was at Home Depot before Lowe's popped up basically across the street from every Home Depot.
Right.
Which is like literally the case at the Home Depot I worked at. There's a Home Depot on one side of the street at Home Depot, which is there's a parking lot that's got a Home Depot on one side of it and a Walmart on the other side and a bunch of stores in between. And you go to the, you go literally across the street and down one block. So like if you're standing on the corner of the, at the intersection, you're standing on the corner of the block that has the Home Depot and the Walmart on it. Mm-hmm. And we're able to go to go diagonally across the corner to the other side of the street.
Yeah.
You know, just diagonally across the street.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah. You're there. You're then at the parking lot that has Sam's Club and Lowe's.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
And it's like, you know, I remember at Home Depot when I worked there, Lowe's halfway through the time working there, Lowe's had just come in and people go, well, I'm just going to go over to Lowe's. Okay. They got the same crap that we do. Go right ahead. When you're done there, I mean, I have people coming in that have gone to Lowe's that come right back to Home Depot. Well, I was just over at Lowe's and they said this, this, and this. Okay. Whatever. I don't care.
That's like, you know, I always thought that was really funny. That's the, what I always like to call the, I'm going to Hollywood, line.
Yes.
Yeah.
From whenever. Blockbuster, that whole thing. You don't have the movie. Well, I'm going to go to Hollywood. Go right ahead.
Okay. Maybe just they have it. Know, good luck.
Just so you know, if we got 40 of those, they got 20 because our buying power is twice what theirs is. But what the hell ever? Go right ahead. Okay. Also, I don't work there and I've been over there. They don't have people as smart about movies as me. So go ahead. Bye bye. See you later.
That's great.
I'm just saying. I don't know if I was ever, I think somebody offered me a job there at one point when they found out I was working for Blockbuster. Somebody offered for me to jump ship, and I just kind of laughed at them.
I don't understand why somebody would.
Did you work in Hollywood for a time?
No, yeah. Never.
Did you?
No, I had a roommate. I had a roommate that worked at Hollywood for a short period of time.
Why would you have a roommate that worked at Hollywood?
Because Blockbuster was already starting to go down. Both of them were, but it was a temporary job, and he was on his way into the Army, so.
Okay, then I'll forgive that.
He was there for like 4 months, and then he enlisted, so.
Yeah, I'll forgive that, because like if it was like a long-term thing, I'd be like, you really need a better checks and balances system for your roommates, because that's not okay. Did I know this guy?
Yes, you did.
Was he cigar guy?
No.
No, he wasn't cigar guy.
No, he wasn't cigar guy. That no, this was the... So, you remember the first two roommates I had in my house down in Fair Oaks? I had my buddy... cigar guy, I think, was Keith, right? And then...
You don't need to... Are you going to name them both? Gosh,
well,
all right.
It's not like I'm giving last names.
Yeah. And all I know him as a cigar guy, and the reason I know that is because we were there for something or other happening at one point, and he comes out with... couple of Cohiba cigars and I think he was asking some people who smoke cigars, and he like asked me, and I love cigars, and he's got a Cohiba, and I'm like, I smoke cigars, you want to smoke a cigar with me? Couldn't find anybody who smokes cigars with him. I'm like, dude, I feel your pain, let's do this. And I sat down, and I just knew him as your roommate, so I only knew him so much. I fed him a couple of times, so I guess it was about time that he ponied up something for me. A cigar is good. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
And so I just got to sit there and enjoy a cigar with him. It was a damn good cigar, I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
Damn good cigar. I enjoyed that. So yeah, that's the, he always stuck in my mind. If he ever, I don't know if he ever listens to this, but if he ever does, or if you ever talk to him again, I remember him as cigar guy, and it was a very fond memory.
He's a good dude, and he still is. He still very much is. I have fallen out of touch with the guy, but we have a mutual friend that I'm in regular contact with, and he's doing well for himself. So if you ever wanted to know how Cigar Guy is doing, he's doing very well.
Good.
All right. Good. Even though I dropped his name.
A guy that shares cigars with me, he should be doing well.
Yeah. So no, the other guy is who I was talking about.
Okay. I remember the other guy.
Yes. The tall guy. He was the one that was working over at Hollywood.
Yes, I remember. I remember him. Yeah, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know which one of the two had been in the military. I mean, I know our other friend that was in the military.
Yes.
And I know our other friend. Well, more your friend than my friend.
Yes.
But the other friend was in the military.
There's quite a few friends of mine that were in the military. Cigar Guy was in. He had actually just come back. He was a veteran at that point. He had come back from the Army.
So Cigar Guy was in the military, too.
Cigar Guy was Army. And the taller guy, the other roommate, was a younger kid. He had just turned like 18 when he was living with me. And he went on to be an Army Ranger. Like, he saw the real shit. He saw, not to invalidate anybody's military service in any degree, but that guy was a top-notch, like, top-notch peak physical condition type of dude. Like, just nuts. Mean,
and even people in the military will tell you that there are certain things, that there are certain areas that are a little bit different. You know, certain specialties, certain divisions, units, whatever that you get into that are a little bit different. I mean, I know a guy who was a Navy SEAL, legitimately a Navy SEAL.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you he's the biggest douchebag that I've ever met in my entire life. And, even though I know I physically am unable to do it, if I saw him again, I would probably want to hurt him badly, 'cause I just do not like the man at all.
Oh, that's terrible.
I never have. And he's considerably older than me. He's fairly close to my father's age.
Hey, I can like and respect the job that anybody has, but if they're an asshole, they're still an asshole.
No, this guy was an asshole for every moment that I knew him. And still makes me angry whenever I think of him. Let's see. I do have a friend who's I want to say it was her dad or her aunt. No, it was her uncle. I believe her uncle was a Marine sniper in Vietnam, and was actually a very famous Marine sniper in Vietnam. So famous that the one kind of sniper battle that he was engaged in has become a thing of legend and lore.
What?
And was even featured on Mythbusters.
What? You know this guy?
I don't know this guy. I know a family member of his.
Oh.
Sadly, I'm not connected enough to know him personally. But in case anybody knows enough about military stuff, he's the guy that was able to snipe a Viet Cong through the Viet Cong's scope on the Viet Cong's sniper rifle. He shot him through the scope.
Oh, that's the guy? The sniper that shot another sniper through his own scope right into his eye?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Dude, yeah,
I have a friend who I believe that's her uncle. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you have met her.
Oh, really? You're gonna have to verify with me who this is.
I'll fill you in after.
Yeah.
But I know a couple of guys that were Army Ranger, and then that's it as far as anything else. I have military people in my family. I do have a Master Chief in the family, but I don't talk to him, so he's kind of an ass too.
Oh, okay.
And then but there's different there's different areas that you get to. I mean, the one who's the Master Chief, he gets a lot of respect in military circles, especially anything with any Navy circles. Yeah, if they know he's a Master Chief, he gets a lot of respect.
That makes sense.
I think it goes to his head a little bit, but you get for making Master Chief. That's the in the Navy. That's the highest an enlisted man can get.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the highest ranking you can get to. So, yeah, he feels it. Anyway, I think now is a good time for a break because I think we're gonna. Okay. We're going to attempt, like we always do, to keep this as long of a show. It's not going to happen, probably, but we're going to try. We're really, really going to try.
Much appreciated on the attempt.
When we come back, there were a few topics that we want to talk about. Specifically, there were a couple of celebrities that passed this last week. One that we kind of knew about when we started the podcast last week was probably going to happen, and we held off saying anything until something did happen, and it did, so now we're going to say something.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, a little more out of the blue, but like in many ways way less shocking.
Far less.
So we'll talk about those a little bit when we're back.
All right.
Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we're back, everybody.
All right.
So, yeah, like I said, we're going to try to keep this short, because we only have two major things to talk about. And I mean, I have a bad history of saying we're going to keep it short, and then I don't keep it short. I just keep talking and keep talking and keep talking. Or you do, because you do that sometimes too.
Oh, very much.
I guess I shouldn't take all the blame for the just keep talking.
No, I do it too. I run a bit. When you get me on something, I run a bit. It's understandable.
Yeah. But anyway, here's what we're going to talk about this time. Here's what we're going to talk about for this half of it. I mentioned before that there was a couple of celebrity deaths, and we've covered celebrity deaths at different points in time throughout the history of doing the podcast. I say that like we've been doing it forever, but it has been a while. It's been 2 years. So that's a decent amount of time, right? We've been 2 years? Has it been more than two years?
Yeah, it's been just over 2 years, actually. We've been doing this for a couple of years now, yeah.
Yeah, haha. Some of you haven't even had relationships that lasted that long. So there. But anyway, we've covered and talked about celebrity deaths, and typically we only do it when there's somebody that really it's exceptionally newsworthy. We've mentioned some. There's going to be some people when they do finally pass that are going to be like, we've done full episodes just on one person, and there'll be some people that will have a full episode just on them. Like I just found out a day or two ago that they are finally making Indiana Jones 5.
Are you serious?
It is happening. Harrison Ford will be there. Phoebe Waller-Bridge will be in the movie. I don't know if you're familiar with her. British comedian, had a TV show. Can't think of the name of the TV show, but it was fairly popular. And then she played a robot in a droid in the Han Solo story. But anyway, she'll be in the new Indiana Jones 5. But here's the big news. John Williams is coming out of retirement to score it. Now, you know what I'm talking about, right? John Williams.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. When John Williams dies, I just think like that'll be the episode that you need to have like sound bites plugged in. And like, I don't know, maybe we'll have to get rights for it. I'm not sure. Maybe what we'll do is we'll make the sounds for the various scores that he's done. Just to like, because then can't we get away from any copyright for that if we make the sounds ourselves?
I mean, maybe if somebody goes after for the composition, but I mean,
so I can't, yeah, like, maybe. I can't hum the Indiana Jones theme.
Well, technically you could. It would take a hell of a
a rendition of it for people to be like, "Oh, that's good enough. It sounds exactly like it." I could just be
hum the
key,
orchestra,
right?
James. Hum the orchestra. No,
that sounds dirty. That sounds like some kind of dirty sex move. Thank you.
Yes, it does actually. Like,
oh, orchestra, please. That would be damn. It's worth it.
No, I mean, technically, yeah, you could know what it is. It could be like, hey, remember this or something like that, but don't just like play the actual, like, obviously not play it, but if we could, I mean, technically it could be, yes. Technically, you're infringing upon copyright when you actually do it.
Okay. Regardless, when that happens, John Williams would be somebody that we'll be focused on.
Yes.
I don't know, I might say something when George Lucas died. You know, it's going to depend. You know what I mean? I mean, he did create Star Wars, but like, he also like let it go. So I don't know. What do you mean?
Point being, yeah,
we have some celebrities we take full episodes for. There were, again, two kind of high profile celebrity deaths. At least I find it interesting that they were both as high profile as they was, or as they were, was, use proper tense, James, as high profile as they were, only because one of them I kind of get, because America has this weird fixation. The other one, it's like, I don't know. I didn't think the artist was relevant for a while. But I think the circumstances are what really made it as noteworthy as it is. And so we'll start with that one. We'll start with the fact that this week saw the death of rapper DMX.
Yes, Earl DMX Simmons.
Does he do the barking thing? Is literally the barking in two songs are only the things I know about them. I'm showing the fact that I am not a DMX fan. I know nothing about his music.
Okay. So me myself, I'm not entirely fully familiar. I do know that of the stuff that he has put out, I've always liked his material, like everything he put out. But just a real quick synopsis. His debut album was huge. It came out. It's called "It's Dark and Hell Is Hot." Came out in 1998 is when he broke and he got big. Then he came out with, and then there was X in 1999, and that one had the one that everybody remembers from him. That one's got "Party Up, Up in Here" on it. And
okay, yeah, that's the song. See, when I hear that song, I think of basically dorky people attempting to dance to this song. specifically like Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
Like, oh, Craig Robinson. God, yes.
Craig Robinson is the only person that can dance during that scene. Everybody else is just awful.
Yes.
In that scene.
Yes.
But that's the thing that immediately comes to my brain.
That's that makes sense. So there's that one. The other one is...
The Ghostbusters movie, too. The new Ghostbusters movie.
Yes.
They danced to that song in that.
Oh, that's funny. What's really funny about that song is that it's such a hit that they were still pulling from it. Any of the DMX material, when you heard it, it was... I don't think there was anything DMX that I had heard that I didn't like. Like, I just never went out and bought a record like myself. But every time somebody was playing it, every time, like, if I was in a friend's car and they were playing it or something like that, it was like there was never a time that I didn't like DMX for what he was doing.
Literally, that's the only song that I have any real knowledge of.
Well, there's the other one, too. There's actually the other big one is the one that he saw a huge resurgence with the song X Gon' Give It to You on the Deadpool soundtrack.
That one's on Deadpool. Okay.
Yes. That's the one that you see, I think he saw a resurgence of his career after the Deadpool movie because it was so just like that was big when it came out. But
yeah, well, I mean, it was a fun moment in the Deadpool movie, and I think there's the layer of, you know, the whole X Factor layer.
Yeah.
With that perfect song to use considering the X Factor group in the comics. But it also fits the Deadpool character. But again, it's one of those instances of like, and I will admit this is probably showing some of my, I guess you could call it white privilege, if you want to call it that. The fact that both the songs that I know by him are in movies with predominantly white casts, and they're both songs that are playing while white people are trying to either dance or walk in unison to the songs. And so that's
true.
That's my only experience.
I remember him. I was always big into Kung Fu movies and action stars. I was a big Bruce Lee fan. And when Jet Li came out with Lethal Weapon 4, I was all about Jet Li. And he was actually in I'm not sure if you ever saw it.
But
Romeo Must Die. Right? Yeah. He was in Romeo Must Die. That was the big one. The other DMX stuff is
that one?
DMX is in Romeo Must Die. Yeah, he's the guy that calls off the gunfight at the beginning. He plays He's essentially the cop character. Guns don't kill people, people kill people. He's the guy that takes over as the authority figure in the opening scene of Romeo Must Die.
Because the only people I remember from that movie is Jet Li and Delroy Lindo. Those are the only people that I remember.
Oh, man. No, DMX was in that one.
Okay.
And I can't remember.
He was in a movie with Steven Seagal. And I just remember that movie was, I don't even remember what movie it was. I just remember he was in a movie with Steven Seagal. And it was near the end of Seagal's career.
Yeah.
When his shtick wasn't cutting it anymore. And luckily they stopped having him run places, because people, I'm just saying this right now. If you really want to see something funny, go watch some of the old Steven Seagal movies when he was supposed to be the badass martial arts dude.
Yeah.
And watch footage of him running.
Oh yeah.
That's hilarious to watch that man run. I mean, yeah. I hope he doesn't listen to this. He'll probably want to kick my ass for saying it, but I'm just saying, he did not run pretty. Not at all. Not at all. Anyway, that movie was so, the movie with him and that DMX was in with Steven Seagal was so forgettable that I just, yeah.
Oh, let me see. I think I've got it. Exit Wounds.
Yes,
that's the name of it. Exit Wounds. Oh, it was produced by Joel Silver.
And again, I mean, DMX was just never a rap artist I was a huge fan of.
He just, he didn't cross over into acting as well as it was thought. But the guy had charisma, and he had a voice. He had a killer fucking voice, like just straight cut for hip hop, cut for rap music. That guy had one of the best voices in rap, period.
I won't disagree with the fact that he did have a very good voice. I just, yeah.
But not, I get it. Like his stuff wasn't really in. Well, he had a really, tumultuous relationship with self-control and a really bad drug addiction as well.
I do know that he had a lot of legal problems. I remember something with an airport, major legal problem with an airport.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I don't remember the details from it.
But, I know that he was in and out of rehab. It's still up in the air as to whether or not what caused his heart attack on last Friday.
I think is some of the reason why it was such a big story. Yes, for a large number of people, this is a big influential musician. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people that were his fans. I'm sure there are fans of his that would have wondered why I was so concerned with or so emotional about the death of like Lemmy Kilminster, and would be like, who the hell is Lemmy Kilminster? People
really?
Got yeah. you know different celebrities got different fans. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally, entirely.
But in this situation, and like Lemmy's an interesting example to corroborate, because with Lemmy Kilminster, you expected that dude would die from liver failure or kidney failure or stomach cancer or liver cancer, or basically in his guts rotting out. And no, dude ended up with like what, brain cancer? Lemmy?
Was it brain cancer?
Yeah, it was something like that, where it's like, okay. That's a little weird. That's totally not what you'd expect him to die from the fact that he would drink a fifth of Jack Daniels or more every single day.
Yeah, you'd think it'd be like...
It would have been totally other different things.
Yeah.
And if you told me, yeah, he died of liver failure, I'd be like, well, yeah, it's Lemmy. What do you expect?
Right.
With a heart attack for DMX, and then him being, a week in a coma, right? Wasn't that what happened? He had a heart attack and don't know why he had it. And then he was a week in a coma, and finally they figured they did tests and found no brain activity, right?
They did. Well, and it's not okay. So I'm looking up the Wikipedia on him right now just to make sure that I get that, my ducks in a row here. Cause I don't want to make it sound like, there's a lot of speculation over what killed DMX, but we're not going to know until we see an autopsy. To be completely real, there are conflicting reports saying that it was potentially a drug overdose that did it. He did have addiction to multiple substances.
Yes.
He had a problem with addiction. He went to rehab multiple times. There's a possibility that may have been the case, but it's not confirmed. For all intents and purposes, we know that he had been sober for a very long time before this situation happened. At least it was publicly known that that was the case, right? Yeah. So I don't want to necessarily say that he was involved with drugs or anything because we're really not sure. Nobody knows. There are conflicting reports that it's potentially, well, basically it's a rumor that it was drugs that did it, but then there was another rumor that it was potential that he had contracted COVID-19, and it, along with all of the other damage that had been done to his body, may have done something. But essentially what happened was he had a heart attack at his home, and he was on life support because paramedics were trying to resuscitate him after the heart attack. For 30 minutes, his brain had no oxygen. 30 minutes. So yeah, that's permanent vegetative state. Your brain cannot survive.
Not typically.
So unfortunately, because of the lack of oxygen that was going to his, that was not going to his brain, he was in a vegetative state as soon as he arrived in the hospital. He was done. And apparently on the morning of the 9th, which was, let's see, today is the 10th, right? So on the morning of April 9th, he had lost functionality of multiple organs by that morning, including his lungs, liver, and kidneys. So as he was on life support, his body started failing.
Well, yeah, once you when you're dealing with the vegetative state, unless they are basically, that's
yeah, you're on a breathing machine. It's not possible.
The lower brain function starts shutting down, which causes systemic organ failure.
I will tell you this. I am personally incredibly saddened by it because I was hoping to see some kind of a comeback. I had loosely, like, whenever I saw news about DMX, I would always check it out. I would always try to follow it and see, man, maybe, you know, maybe he comes out with another album. Because he was still performing shows in 2019. He did a webcast performance with Snoop Dogg. I want to say it was like in August. I saw it. He wasn't in top shape, like, but he was good. Like, his heart was there. You could see that he believed in what he was doing, and that in itself just feels like enough to me. When he was performing, I saw some live performances from 2019 that were on video. I just checked this stuff out. As I was hearing over the last weekend, what was going down, because I wanted to see, like, you know, what had he been doing because of all that.
Well, and again, he still had it, man. And again, you've
been
a fan for a long period of time, so that would make sense that you'd be checking out and see.
Yeah, it's no, like I said, I didn't ever have any of his records. And you know, maybe I should go get him, like, for support. I actually for the longest time, the only Motorhead record I had was this live performance Motorhead record, like board recording, not a bootleg. It was an actual legitimate release CD that I picked up, and it was like the only one I played all the time. And when I learned about Lemmy, I just like bought all the stuff. Like it was knowing, and then I. Well, it's crazy what I do now with music. I'm not trying to make this about me, but I'll sit and listen and critically listen to stuff where nothing else is bothering me. I will sit down and just absorb myself into the music that's there. And even in a lot of hip hop, holy smoke, some of the raw fucking talent that comes out in some of his stuff was great. It really was. And so, like, I would consider the music world to be a worse place with the loss of DMX, man. I would.
I'll take you on that, sir. Yeah. Again, not personally a fan, but just from your speaking of it, I understand why so many people turned this into the big news story that it was and were so affected by this.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, each person has their own flavor of things that they like. Again, DMX, not a fan, but anybody's passing, especially as you're saying he was trying to maybe... He was keeping music going by playing live and maybe trying to do more music, trying to be more creative. You never want to see an artist silenced.
Exactly. I mean, especially somebody that you know has gone through a lot of shit and they were just on a constant journey to make their lives better. To get themselves out of it, you know?
Yeah. And I will amend that by saying it would be nice if Nickelback never made any more music. But other than that,
I don't know. Looking at the last year, I think I can give Nickelback points for not being trapped.
Yeah, you're right. You're right on that.
Like, well, at least they're not trapped. That's the bar now.
Yeah, I was actually there's a point in time where I was. This was back like 9 years ago. At a point in time, I was auditioning to try to be in a band, and one of the cover songs they liked to cover was Cat Scratch Fever. And I was even 9 years ago, I was like, I really don't want to be singing a Ted Nugent song. I really, really don't. This, and again, 9 years ago, I didn't want to sing a Ted Nugent song. Now you couldn't pay me to sing it. But back then, I really don't want to sing that song.
Understood.
Luckily, in many ways, I did not get the gig. So anyway, the other major kind of high profile celebrity death this last week was, of course, the death of Prince Philip of England.
Yes.
And this is the one that doesn't surprise me at all, because like the dude was like 90 something.
Yeah, I think it was like 94.
So like the fact that Queen Elizabeth is still alive is like, seriously, she's like one of the longest reigning monarchs ever, like in history ever.
Yeah. In like world history.
Yeah. Like ever. Cause she started out really young and she's now really, really old. I think I think literally they're doing whatever they can to keep her around. Cause there's no way in hell she wants Charles to take over. No way in hell.
I think she's a cyborg now. She's just a fucking robot.
It's possible. Little tiny midgety robot British lady. Although she was kind of foxy back in the day, but now she's just I like her short too, so that helps.
I don't think I'm ever gonna. Oh God, I know what you mean, bro. One. I know what you mean, but I don't think I could ever see her like that.
I've seen the pictures during World War II. I understand what Philip was looking
at. How old was she during World War II? 26.
No, younger than that, I think.
Was she?
I don't know. Want me to do the math?
Yeah, hold on. I'll look up when she was born.
Anyway, I'll keep talking while you're doing that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've also seen way more TV series about the British royal family than I want to have. I've seen The Crown multiple times, not by personal choice. My thing is, I'm still fascinated by the obsession that Americans have with the British royal family. It still fascinates me, because I remember exactly where I was when it's like people from the older generation remember where they were when like JFK was shot, and like most people remember where they were when 9/11 happened. We've discussed that before, but like one of the other major like news events, I remember where I was when Princess Di died and it was all over the news, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I remember exactly where I was. And I was at our website guy, Rob, I was at his house, hanging out at his house when that news broke. And his mother was distraught. My mother was distraught. I was just like, why?
Whoa.
I mean, it's the death of a person. It's the death of a person. And I get that.
Yeah.
But like, and it's a celebrity. I get that. But like America's obsession still with the British royal family over any other royal family. We have this big hard on obsession with the British royal family. And it's like, I get it. We used to be their colony, but like we kicked their asses out of our country like more than once. So why are we still like so worried about their royal family? I don't get it. I really don't.
Yeah. I mean,
again, is this an important political figure? Prince Philip was. And so, I mean, not so much anymore, because he really wasn't given much in the way of any kind of authority or power for through the majority of his life. But still, he was the prince consort, so that's fine. But I don't get the level of attention that goes to the British royal family. Again, somebody has died and that should be honored, and people have their chance to grieve. But like I said, it just baffles me personally.
Well, I mean, I may or may not agree with you in certain aspects. I do agree with you in the fact that I don't understand why we have such a major concern for the British royal family. I don't understand, because I don't know how that really has any bearing on the function of global politics. I don't know why they, why the royal family specifically is that important. I legitimately am not trying to be an asshole. I'm telling people I don't understand why it's that important when you have Parliament performing all of the major functions for the entirety of the United Kingdom, of which she's the Queen of the UK. So she is the royal figurehead, but that is pretty much it. Does she make any executive action without having it go through Parliament in any degree? Or does she just essentially...
There are some
like,
things...
I don't know what she does.
There are some things that she technically has to like sign on with and be a part of with. She's also, here's the thing to add in. She's also still technically the sovereign of Canada and Australia.
Australia? Oh, really?
Kind of, technically. It's a very...
So Australia is not independent, because I figured that Canada wasn't independent. It was not independent.
I mean, not entirely. It kind of is, but it kind of isn't. It's a really weird scenario. I mean, keep in mind, it was originally a prison colony, and they just like were like, okay, we've sent the prisoners down there, and, you know, it's great working for a prison colony. Now we're just going to like let the prisoners just be citizens. And the prisoners are like, well, let's kill all the people that are already here and take it all over, and then... bastardize the language even more. That's kind of what happened.
That happened here. So they America'd Australia.
No, they did.
Aside from more than that. They Canada'd Australia.
No, if basically they I've heard the comment that basically Australia is England, south of the Mason-Dixon line. It's basically, really? It's basically the deep south of England.
They're English Florida.
They're more like English.
English Alabama,
Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, that kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all those southern states kind of all rolled into one with you know, everything possible that in nature that could kill you. That's Australia.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. 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 So I'm looking up Queen Elizabeth real quick and get this shit. So Elizabeth was born in 1926. And so
she'd be 1920.
Yeah. She would be 18 to 20 years old during the Second World War.
That's what I'm saying.
She was married to Prince Philip in 1947.
Yep.
And Prince Philip died in 2021. Let me check his age real quick, because she got married. Wow. He was born in 1921.
Now.
Damn, he died when he was like, so he was, born 10th June 1921 and died on April 9th of this year. So he was 99 years old.
Yeah, it's an old dude.
An old guy. And she's 94. And, not that far behind him.
Just to add on, they were cousins.
Oh, of course they fucking were. They were royalty.
Yeah, they're European royalty.
Yeah, they're European royalty. They're related. That happens.
He's I believe he was part of the Habsburg line. But again,
part of me wants to be okay. I'm going to be an asshole for a second. Did you see anything from the interview with Meghan Markle?
Are you going to no, because okay, I'm going to say no, because even though she was American.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She's still now British royalty, and or at least she was she married into British royalty, even though right. She's not considered British royalty.
Right.
But whatever. My thing is just like, I don't care about British royalty in any way, shape or form.
No,
that country's people, not they're England's important people. They're not America's important people. Yes, I know I know about roughly some of the discussion that was going on with that interview, but I did not watch the interview.
Okay. Did you hear about the question that was asked about the baby?
Kind of, but I don't have full clarity on it.
Oh, well, essentially somebody from the royal family, and they did not disclose who they were, asked how dark they thought the baby was going to be.
Yeah, okay, that's I wasn't 100% positive what my understanding of the question or
that was the question.
yeah.
And as I mean, they did not divulge who it was, probably because it was probably somebody very important. But I mean, I have my suspicions that it might have possibly been him. With a list, there was probably, a list of Charles. You think it's Charles?
I think that would have been a Charles question.
I don't know, man. I've seen some of the stuff that Philip has said in other countries. Somebody shared I don't know if this is all true. So I'll take it with a grain of salt. Please take it with a grain of salt as you hear this. But there were definitely some comments that were celebrated as snarky that were just flat out downright racist. Prince Philip was known to have said things that he is known to have said, things that he is like the attitude that he took. I'm not trying to speak ill of the dead, but I know that I am. And, you know, anybody who is listening to us from overseas,
here's the thing.
Like,
here's the thing.
My apologies for it, but that's just like, that just blows my mind. And I don't understand why people like that are celebrated. I don't get it. Is it just because they're rich? Like, I don't understand it.
Well, and that's part of it. I mean, this is a guy that came from, like I said, I believe he was part of the Habsburg family line, which is a family line that has basically been intermarrying through all of the different, kings and queens and royal families in Europe for like hundreds and hundreds of years. And these were people that were extremely exclusionary. These were people that were, their families had been part of Europe going around and colonizing the world. And in doing so, wiping out indigenous populations and taking over their lands for years and years and years. And the thing is, those, many of those countries, those people had been in those indigenous areas for, you know, themselves, centuries of people in those areas. They had claim to it. But the European countries came in and, nope, we're taking this area. It's ours now. We're going to kill y'all. And that's the family line that they're a part of. So it takes some time, takes generations sometimes for some of those things to completely disappear. And some of those things linger a little bit. And that's just, it's not really surprising coming from, especially that time frame. He was almost 100 years old. He grew up in a time frame when that kind of attitude and that kind of thought frame was far more acceptable. And when you're somebody that's royalty, nobody's going to make you not do those things anymore. Who's going to make you not say those things and do those things, right?
Yeah, that may be true, but I just don't think that justifies being able to, like, there are those that commended those statements as something that's raw and rebellious, like being a fucking prick to that degree, being a complete and total racist jackass because you're out of touch with the culture of another country. Like, it's for some reason it's commendable. That doesn't sound commendable to me. And I think it honestly needs, like, I'm not trying to look, man, you know what? Fuck it. I'm trying to do it. Like, if you want to put this guy's stuff under a microscope and teach people that it's not fucking proper to act like this, unless you don't give a shit, which some people don't, I guess. My point is that this kind of stuff needs to be put out there as examples of what not to do and what not to say. People need to know how bad this stuff actually is to say shit like that. And you don't turn around and laugh. And like, I understand the time frame that was said, but I'm hoping that there's some statement by him or by the royal family that condemns that kind of behavior, because it needs to fucking happen sometime soon, if not fucking yesterday. Well, like,
the thing I'm going to say about that is, whenever the family of the deceased comes out and tries to make amends for behavior that was at one point in time accepted and is now understood and brought to light that it's not accepted, and the family tries to make amends for it later, what do you have happen? Oh, they're trying to cancel Dr. Seuss. That's what you have happen.
Oh, that's just people bitching just and crying. No, that's people with a victimhood complex for their shitty opinions. That has nothing to do with that.
Yes, it does. It has exactly to do with that, because if the royal family was to come out and to condemn his stuff, there would still be those people that would say, no, no, that's what he said and that, in that time and this and that and whatever. They would still be defending him, because they're still those people are there that are still going to defend any behavior that they feel are okay with, and they feel that other people are being too sensitive about.
Well, then let them fucking bitch, because their opinion doesn't matter. Like, that's where I sit with that kind of stuff. It's you are right in that. It's, here's the deal. You either are, if you condemn or you praise or celebrate or accept, you can accept or condemn the behavior. Praising is on the side of acceptance, essentially, right? You can condemn or you can accept that type of behavior, and you're going to have people pissed off and bitching and moaning on either side of whether or not you condemn or accept that kind of behavior.
Yeah.
But whether or not it is appropriate is the line that you need to cross. If it's inappropriate behavior, like being racist or being sexist or being a complete dickwad in that degree, then you need to condemn it. And anybody else that's just like, that's complaining about, oh, well, this is just people being hypersensitive, then fuck your opinion. Those people's opinions don't matter. And they will eventually just shut the fuck up, because those people have nothing. They're grasping onto a non-issue. As condemning someone for being a shit person is a universally non-issue. It's something that should be widely accepted as something that you should do.
The thing is, people on the other side would be arguing the same thing.
Then fuck the people on that other side.
Which they would, again, they'd argue the same thing back at you. So it's
a false equivalency, though. And you need to call out the fact that it is one, right?
I would agree, just like you need to call it out when people are stealing from the company, unless it's Nike.
But anyway, I love that. Oh, that was brilliant.
Thank you.
That was wonderful.
This is the moment to put your name behind it and take the stand.
Yep.
But anyway, those are the two celebrity deaths that happened. Big in the news, sad for many people. Again, I understand the sadness for DMX. He had many fans, you being one of them. Again, not personally one, but that doesn't make it any less sad. The Prince Philip thing, I get England mourning. I even get Canada and Australia mourning. America, stop worrying about the damn British royal family. They are not our bosses anymore.
Nope.
They haven't been for well over 200 years. We kicked them out.
Yes.
They're not our issue anymore. Stop worrying about their crap.
Agreed. Fully agreed.
Anyway. Other than that, other than those deaths, it's been a fairly decent week, I guess. So,
yeah, it's been all right.
Mike, where would people be listening to us talk about these deaths?
Well, you could be listening to us talk about these deaths on the ZenioChronicles.com or ZenCron.com if you don't want to type that much. That's spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. We're on a bunch of different podcast platforms as well. You can check us out on, Google and TuneIn and Spotify and probably Apple and a lot of other places. But we're also on YouTube. If you are listening to this podcast and you have not subscribed to our YouTube page, you need to go search the Zenio Chronicles on YouTube right freaking now and go subscribe to that channel. As a matter of fact, you could be listening to us on the channel, on the YouTube channel right now, because all of our podcasts are out on videos too. And when we don't put out a podcast, we put out a video. So you could be watching us. You could be listening to us. You could be doing anything. But you should be clicking that subscribe button when you do, because we're trying to get to our first goal of 100 subs. And as a matter of fact, there's also something right next to that subscribe button that you should do. James, I think you know what that is. What do they need to do?
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this my part?
I think it's your part.
Click the bell.
Yes.
That's what they do. They click the bell. I had to think about it for a minute. I had to visualize the YouTube thing. And there's the thing for that. And then there's the bell thing. Because when you click the bell, then it sends you messages and says what? They put out another podcast. You should listen to them some more. And here's the thing. Mike said something about searching for us on YouTube. If you subscribe and click the bell and you get your friends to subscribe and click the bell, and you make up like extra accounts for your dog. Am I allowed to say that on here? Anyway, whatever. You get more subscribers. If we get to that 100, we get our own special URL, and that would make it easier to find us on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's good. We like easier. Plus, it would make us both feel good. And like, I don't know. No, my life is pretty good. Mike needs people to make him feel good. Anyway.
I need validation.
He does, which is why he doesn't just have one YouTube channel with the podcast. He has a total of three. The other two.
He's not wrong.
One of them is his music channel, Ruling Note Music.
Yes.
Where him, just by himself, because he needs some of that just personal self-attention. Like, here you have to share it with me a little bit. And on the other one I'll talk about in a minute, he's got to share with his wife. This is just the Mike show. And so this is him talking about music, music history, music gear, just music stuff, because that's one of the things he really likes is music. If you don't know that, why are you listening to us? But that's like for his own personal adulation. And then like the other one is the one he does with his wife. So there he shares it a little bit with his wife. And that's just it. Shares a little with me, shares a little with the wife. Wait, are we in a threesome relationship? This is not okay with me. It's the wrong ratio. The ratio is not right. Anyway, moving on. The YouTube channel that Mike does with his wife, that's called Chronosode Games. This is Mike and his wife playing video games in chronological order of the game story, but not necessarily in order of the games as they come out. Because sometimes you get like the first game and it's like the third part of the story. And the second game is like the fourth part of the story. And then like by the time they make like the fifth game, that's when they finally make the first part of the story. It's really weird how they do that sometimes. It's like George Lucas's plan for making movies. You make the first three parts of the story, or you make the middle three parts of the story, sorry. And then like, you know, 10, 20 years later, you go back and you make the first three parts of the story. And then like another 10, 20 years later, somebody else goes and makes the last three parts of the story. Why? Because that's just how they do it. I don't understand. Anyway, Chronosode Games, Mike's other channel with his wife, them playing video games, fun to watch. Mike's not very good. Did I do all my part right?
Yeah, no, you did great.
Fantastic. Everybody, thank you for listening, and we will be back again next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.